We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. How about Tom Brady? Looks like he's buying a piece of the Raiders. That's right, partnership with Mark Davis, buying in. So discussions have been going on for a while, and it's close, according to sources. And his investment is expected to be passive, allegedly. He would not have any kind of control over operations or, you know, business or football matters. Apparently, he just wants to own a piece. He's already bought a piece in the Las Vegas Aces. That's also owned by Mark Davis. The rest of the owners would have to approve the buy. So the big story about it is it won't affect his 10-year, $375 million deal with Fox. That's due to start in 2024. It would be unaffected by this. Allegedly, Fox has blessed the agreement if it happens. The league policy about team ownership and media employment only comes into play if the owner holds like a power position at the company, and that would impact broadcast rights and negotiations. Fox and the NFL agreed to an 11-year rights deal in 2021. He tried to buy a piece of the Dolphins around 2021 and even into 2022. Remember, Stephen Ross was stripped of a first-round pick in last month's draft because he was having conversations with Brady, and it violated the anti-tampering policy. It's funny that he's doing this because we were just talking about Brady the other day on C2C saying, why does he have to do this TV deal? I mean, he's so gigantic. We were talking about him going back to Gillette for opening day, and they're going to honor him at the Pats opener. And like, I'm like, why does he need to do this TV deal? He's not even doing it for another year. What's the point of it? When you're that gigantic, when you've won that many Super Bowls, you can do whatever you want in life. I mean, he could, like, own a Grand Prix team. He could own NFL teams. He already owns a WNBA piece. Like, what does he have to do TV every week for and stress out and travel? But he's going to do it, apparently. So moving on, how embarrassing were the Phoenix Suns last night? I mean, they got humiliated. They got whacked by 25 by the Nuggets in Game 6 of the Western Conference Semis. That's over now. Denver's on to the Western Final. And you think about it, last year they got whacked by the Mavericks in Game 7 at the Footprint Center in the same round. Now they lose by 25. They were down by 30 at the half. They were down by 30 at the half last year. The fans were booing, and then they left. They left the arena. Everybody just said, screw this, I'm out of here. Kevin Durant, the cream puff reaper, said, quote, it sucked. It was a bad feeling. Embarrassing, end quote. Booker left the arena. He didn't even talk to the media. And this guy's the face of the franchise. He averaged 33 per game this postseason. But he was terrible. He had 12 points on 4 of 13 shooting. He hit a wall last night. And last year, he had 11 points against the Mavericks when they went down. And he shot 3 of 14 in that game. Now they're saying it's because Paul was out. DeAndre Ayton missed the game with a rib problem. They're the third team in NBA history eliminated from the playoffs in consecutive seasons with 25-plus point losses. That's crazy. Monty Williams said, it's a bad feeling to be eliminated by blowouts in consecutive years. He downplayed the link between the two losses. He said, it's two different groups. Last year's team was totally different than this year's team. Last year's team was more of a ball movement, body movement team. This year, we're more pick and roll oriented and ISO oriented. Two different situations altogether. That's something that we need to take a look at to see what kinds of combinations of players we have to fit the style of play. But it's hard to make assessments about those kind of things 20 minutes after a loss. How about a pounding loss? Durant averaged 29 points per game, but shot only 45% from the floor, 22% from three, finished with 23 points on 8 of 19 shooting in game 6. Durant said, "We just got to be better next year. It's hard right now to see what the future is going to hold, but we got a good foundation, good infrastructure. We can build on and move on from this and learn from it and get better from it. I'm sure as the summer and off season starts, we'll figure out a little bit more." Like, here's an idea. Trade DeAndre Ayton's ass. He's miserable. He's soft. He didn't play. He had a little injury and sat out. I'm sure they made him, team doctors, everything else. They came up with all their BS for why he wasn't going to play. But the fans think he's a gigantic P. The media thinks he's a gigantic P and a prima donna on top of being a P because he never wanted to play in Phoenix to begin with. It's pretty obvious he didn't want to play for the Suns when he signed a deal to get the hell out of there, and then they matched it and forced him to stay. He doesn't like Monty Williams. That's pretty obvious. And when he doesn't get the ball, because D-Book and Durant are ball hogs and do all the scoring, Ayton's clearly not happy with that setup. As for the Nuggets, they're on a mission to win a championship, and they're almost there after that blowout win. Michael Malone said, "We weren't satisfied winning the first round. We're not satisfied now. We're not celebrating. No popping champagne, throwing water over each other because our goal wasn't to get to the Western Conference Finals. I keep saying our goal is to win a championship. We have much more work to do." They're returning to the finals in the West for the first time since losing the conference championship to the Lakers in 2020 in the Orlando bubble. Denver's going to host, obviously, the Warriors or the Lakers next Tuesday in the Mile High City at Ball Arena. The Joker averaged 34.5 points per game and a triple-double, the second highest scoring average while averaging a triple-double in a playoff series all time, to Westbrook's 37 points per game in the 2017 first round. And that was like the deal. Like, this guy's just been going off. He did it again, his third triple-double in four games. He had 32, 12 dimes, 10 rebounds to go with three steals. He made 13 of 18 shots. Nobody could stop him. He joined Westbrook, Kidd, Magic, Wilt, and Oscar Robertson as the only players in history to have an all-time best three triple-doubles in a single playoff series. They lost in five games to the Lakers in the bubble, and the Warriors eliminated the Nuggets in five games in the first round last year in the postseason. The Joker said, "Hopefully it's going to be different than the other years. We lost last time. We were in the bubble against the Lakers." That make any sense of how, you know, unordinary that experience was? We were injured against Golden State last year. It's not the finals, but I'm just talking about the teams that we lost to. So we have a nice opportunity to do something. Murray was incredible. Breakout season in 20 in the bubble when he averaged 26, 6 dimes and 50% shooting, including 45% from three. Then he tore his ACL. But this guy was averaging 25, 6 dimes, 5 rebounds this postseason, entering the game against Phoenix. He felt sick on Thursday, didn't do the shoot-around. He still started, and he had 26, 4 helpers, 4 boards. Caldwell Pope played great. He had 21. We already told you, Booker was awful, and I thought Pope shut him down. They were up 30 at the half, 81-51, and people were like, "I am gone from here. See ya." It was the fourth time in NBA history a team facing elimination trailed by 30 or more at the half. The Suns have been part of that twice. Michael Malone added, "It seems like for years now, some dusty old cow town in the Rocky Mountains, the little respect that we get, and you can sit there and fight it, complain about it, or you can embrace who we are and what we have. I'd rather not waste time on all the pundits who count us out or don't give us respect that we deserve and everything that we've been through, that we've done, but there's one thing that we haven't done until we win a championship. People are going to keep saying that about us, so that's all. That's what drives us. It's winning a championship. That's what we want. Getting to the Western Conference Finals doesn't do it. Getting to the finals doesn't do it. Winning it all does it. Well, we also know that the Celtics stayed alive. They won in Philly and embarrassed the Sixers. Philly had a chance to do what they've been waiting a decade to do, go to the Eastern Conference Finals, finally win something that matters. But Tatum broke their hearts. He knocked down 4 of his 8 shots for 16 points. He outscored the Sixers 16-13 in the fourth quarter and helped Boston win 95-86 and force a Game 7 at the Garden in Boston. He hit 3 three-pointers during clutch time, and the Sixers were 0 for 6 in clutch time. Tatum said, "You want to win so bad, you want to play well, shots aren't falling, things aren't necessarily going your way, and you want it so badly." Mazzulla said that Tatum's poise got him going. The standard that is set for him to where if he's not scoring, he's not playing good, is wrong. He's had multiple games in the series where he's at his best, and he doesn't need to score. His communication with his teammates, I thought, his defense, and I thought even his force driving the ball kept him in the game, and so he plays with a level of poise regardless of how the game is going. They held the Sixers to 86 points, their fewest in a game this postseason, and second fewest in any game this season. That Game 7 will be Sunday in Boston.